to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight, as we continue our Bible study series on Proverbs, with the subtitle, Practical Wisdom for Everyday Life. The title is Our Plans and God's Purposes. Our Plans and God's Purposes. You've probably heard this saying or something similar to it, so see if you can finish it. When you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. That's right. When you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. What does that mean? Practically speaking. In other words, if you don't plan things out, it's not going to turn out well or as well, put it that way. Sometimes we get fortunate, I guess, maybe. But significant areas and aspects of our lives, we need to take time to plan. Now, it's interesting because there's a whole nother, that has to do with our plans, but we're also going to be talking about God's purposes. I love this quote. It says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. What does that mean? He's the ultimate planner, and I think there's also an aspect of it. It's like no matter how well you plan, it's probably never going to go exactly the way you plan. And sometimes it's because God has a different plan, right? So we have our plans, but we have God's purposes, and those two work together, and they need to be balanced. And that's what we're going to take a look at from Proverbs. So before we jump in, I'm going to have three major points or three major thoughts backed up with some scripture. What comes to your mind when you think about the relationship between our plans and God's purposes? Does anything particular come to your mind about how they relate together? Are they opposite? Do they conflict? What do you think about when you think of our plans, God's purposes? Vita. That God's will work out through the process of our planning. That would be a goal, wouldn't it? Yeah. His will, nobody can ultimately thwart God's plans. By that, I don't mean that God's will is always done, because God's will is not done all the time. But ultimately, nobody can thwart God's plans. All right? And God's ultimate will is definite. But, anytime we sin, God's will is not being done in our lives. That's one of the reasons why Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done. But ultimately, God's plans will be carried out. So our goal would be that our plans would correspond with that. Jan. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so when we seek God with all of our heart, his will becomes our desires. It is what we end up wanting to plan. Okay, that's a great way to look at how that balances, that we still have choice. We still are supposed to make plans, but it should be in consultation with and in submission to God's will, God's purposes. That would be the end goal. Yeah. Lynn, you look like you want to say something. Isaiah, God speaks and says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. God sees the big picture, we only see a little bit. So in this process, we need to submit to what he says, even if it doesn't make sense to us, or conflicts with what we think. Or whatever. But that doesn't mean we just throw everything out the door. God still wants us to use our minds and our common sense, our intelligence, our knowledge. He tells us to seek wisdom. Why would he tell us to seek wisdom if we're just supposed to say, God, what do you want me to do? Boom, I just do it. That's a good prayer, by the way. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Okay. All right, so let's jump in. I told you I got three major points that I want to draw from this topic or about this topic from Proverbs. Number one, God commends good planning. God commends good planning. In other words, God is not against planning. Okay? God is not against people making plans. God wants us to make plans. He wants us to use the knowledge we have or gain. He wants us to use the wisdom that, as we've talked about in a previous lesson, that we're supposed to be seeking. He wants us to use our common sense. And as we jokingly say, some of us have more of that than others. Okay? He wants us to use that. All right, but that's not the only point, but God is not anti-planning, and we see that in Proverbs. In Proverbs 21:5, it says, the plans of the diligent leads surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. That's Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent leads surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. All right. So the first part of that, plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance, basically is saying, if you plan well and you plan right, it'll lead to positive results. Okay. What does that mean when it says everyone who is hasty? Yeah, quick to make decisions, you know, maybe a rash decision, you know, you don't really think it through. Maybe acting without planning. It can lead to problems. Okay. Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Now, this one's a little bit more enigmatic, especially for those of us who maybe didn't live in that kind of a culture. But try to think through, what does that mean? Proverbs 24:27, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. What is that proverb trying to tell us? Okay, we got to make preparation, but it's saying to prepare your field before you prepare your house. Why would a person want to prepare their field before they prepare? Let's say, I think the idea here is kind of you're moving into a new place, okay, and the proverb is saying, you know, till your fields, get them all ready before you get too concerned about building your house. Why would that be important? Tim? Yes, definitely. Preparing, doing elbow preparation. So why would preparing your field be more important or a greater priority than preparing your house? Again. All right, for income, but even more basically, so you got something to eat. You build your house first, you make it all nice and eat, you move in, it's like, what are we going to eat? I don't know. We spent all of our time building our house. And that sounds funny. And in their culture, it was very literal. But you know what? There are times people get their priorities all out of whack financially and in many other ways and sink all their energy, effort, finances in this. And now they don't have enough to take care of their basic needs. So it's basically about priorities. And it's all about planning your priorities. When you're planning, make sure you put the most important thing first. You know, at first you might think, I got to build a house, I get out of the rain, but I got to have food a week from now. Not that you're going to grow food in the week. I'm just saying, but that's kind of the idea that's here. All right. Priorities are very, very important. Now, by the way, I'm only giving you a couple of verses, a couple of proverbs for each of these. There's a whole bunch of proverbs about this topic. As we continue to go in this idea of God commending good planning, another aspect of that same point is that in our planning, we are very wise if we get counsel. In other words, when we can, and especially when we need it, but when we can, to make sure we're getting good information, and we can do that from getting with other people. Proverbs 20:18 says, plans are established by counsel. By wise guidance, wage war. Now, that's a very specific thing. It's talking about kings and armies and all that kind of stuff. You know, you better make good plans. You don't want to be defeated. But you can also look at that kind of symbolically in our lives. We don't want to be defeated by the circumstances of our lives. So we want to plan well. And one of the things that can really help us plan well is if we get counsel. And in particular, counsel from somebody who's already been there and done that and done it well. I mean, you can learn from people that did it wrong because you don't want to do it that way. But I've always said, you know, if you want to get marriage counseling, don't get it from a person that's got 5 divorces and is on the way out of their 6th one, you know. Anyway, they may have learned some things along the way, but it sounds like they didn't really do it. Yeah, Edward, did you want to say something? Okay. Well, if you want some practical family advice, talk to Tony and Nathil. They can make almost anything grow. They really can. Yeah, Lori. It's not. And that brings out a really important principle of that Proverbs. People think mistakenly that proverbs are promises. Proverbs are principles and probabilities. Okay? They talk about how life generally works. All right? I mean, there's almost always exceptions to just about anything. But that's what proverbs are. Okay? They're general observations about how life generally works. Okay? But the thing is, the proverb's still true. If you plan diligently, you apply yourself, you're much more likely to head down the right path and experience good things. And, you know, in a perfect world, you would always experience that. But we live, like we've talked about many times, you know, even though we may not bring it on, we may not cause it, we live in a sinful, fallen world, and we're gonna experience all kinds of stuff that we don't deserve. Or I mean, there's a lot of stuff we do deserve, but that we don't deserve because we just live in a sinful, fallen world. So, yeah. Did I hear somebody else? Lisa and then Lynn. Go ahead, Lisa. Yeah. Yes, we talked about that in some of the foundational lessons. You were on vacation, but that's good. About wisdom and, you know, learning and growing, being open to that. And we'll talk some more about that next week, because that's part of strong, healthy relationships, is that we're willing to pour into other people's lives, but we're also willing to receive from others. Lynn, you were going to make a comment. Go ahead. That's true. And that's where another thing comes out. You know, people say, well, God doesn't keep his promises, but they don't always understand that those promises are not always fulfilled right now the way we want to, but they will be fulfilled. That's right. God always keeps his word. Yeah. Peter. That's right. We're all on a journey. We're all on a, if we know the Lord, we're in a growing in the relationship, and we make plans and things change along the way. There's a saying, I never was in the military, but I've done some reading, talked to some people, and I've heard there's a saying in the military that you always plan as best you can. But once things start, that whole plan can go out the window really quick. And that's true about life in general. And that's a very important thing to keep in mind, that we want to make the best plans we can, but we've got to be willing to move and change as we are led by, and we should be seeking to be led by the Holy Spirit as we carry out that plan. And again, from the beginning, hopefully that plan has been submitted to God and requested of God and all that, but ready to follow his leading. You know, it made me think of Paul when he went on the missionary journey and he planned, traveled here. And it's like he hit a brick wall. It's like the Spirit says, no. He said, well, let's go over here. The Spirit says, no, let's go over here. Then the Spirit said, let's go over there. You know, we got to be willing. Go ahead, Lynn, you're going to add to that? That's right. Jesus said you got to count the cost. In fact, we were going to get there eventually, but we'll go there now since you brought it up. It's Luke 14, 28 to 30. We're going to deal with Proverbs first, and then we're going to jump into other passages of Scripture, but that works there. Luke 14, 28 to 30, Jesus said, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Yeah. One more proverb, and then we'll get into some more passages from other places in Scripture. In Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, I think it's assumed there are many good advisors. There's a great example of a guy that chose many bad advisors, and it caused a civil war. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, took over as king, and the people said, listen, Solomon was a great king, but he was tough, and we did a lot of work. Can you lighten up a little bit? And his son, Rehoboam, asked the older, wiser elders, what should I do? He says, yeah, but you know, all those building projects are done, so lighten up a little bit and you'll have their loyalty forever. And then he asked all the guys he grew up with, and they were running, said, no, show yourself a man. Tell them you're going to be harder than your dad. And he did, and it caused a civil war, and the nation split. You know, so it's assumed there are many good advisors. Okay. Now, before we move on to the second point, thought in this area, can you think of biblical examples of God-approved planning or teaching about it? I mean, Lynn gave us the one where Jesus said in Luke 14, if you desire to build a tower, you should count the cost, that kind of thing, which Jesus was talking about discipleship, you know, count the cost for following him, but it applies to every other area of life too. Can you think of any stories in the Bible where there was planning involved and God was involved in that? And that's not your typical question. Nathel? Noah, yeah. God gave him the blueprint, but I guarantee you he had to do a lot of planning, you know, to get that boat built, you know. Tim? The taking of Jericho, yeah. There's a combination of God's revelation, but also planning. I'm sure God didn't give them every little detail that Joshua had to give with the commanders and say, get this troop together here and that and all that kind of stuff. That's a great illustration, a lot of them, that we get God's instructions, but then he leaves us sometimes that we got to work out the details. Yeah, Kingsley. The building of the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. The building of the tabernacle. And again, that was a combination because there were men that it says God gave them skill, which is interesting because the same word for skill there is the word for wisdom. It's the practical application of wisdom. God gave it to them, but they still probably had a lot of leeway of how they carried that out. Okay, so that's a great thing of coordinating them together. You know, talking about building the tabernacle, I think of the building of the temple. David wanted to build a temple. God says, you're not the guy to do it. Solomon is, for various reasons. But David didn't say, okay, forget it. No, he started the process. He got the land. He got with his leaders. He started it's going to take a lot of gold. It's going to take a lot of woods. And he basically, you know, built a Home Depot so Solomon could move in and, you know, get the stuff down at Home Depot and put it together. And then, of course, Solomon planning to build the temple. I think of Genesis 41 when God gave the revelation to Joseph of Pharaoh's dream that there were going to be 7 plentiful years, 7 terrible years. And Pharaoh says, what should we do? And Joseph said, well, here's what you need to do. Save up during the 7 good years, okay? And then you'll have for the 7 bad years. I think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a great story of God leading him to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. But you read that story, and it's his diary, basically. And he's talking about all these things he did to plan. And he got the letter. He talked to the king, and he requested supplies. And he went out at night and took a look at the whole thing. And then he went to the people. He was a planner, okay? I think of the Proverbs 31 woman. If you think about the description of the Proverbs 31, when this is a woman who is lauded for all these wonderful character traits, and a lot of them have to do with planning, okay? And then Jesus is teaching. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Jesus wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount, he says, the wise hand builds his house upon the rock. So he's planning ahead. Yeah. Yeah. So in what areas of life is planning ahead important? Pretty much every area, right? I mean, what you're going to eat for breakfast may not be as important, but especially any serious, significant area of life. I mean, you know, relationships before you're married, about what it's going to be like when you know, how to get there, who you're going to marry, what it's going to be like, you know, occupation, education, finances, retirement, preparing for retirement. Lots of people don't prepare for retirement. They get there, it's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, Jan. You can tell she plans for breakfast, and that's good. All right. Yes, I'm not saying those things are never important. I'm just saying some things are more important than others. So that's the first point. God commends good planning. So God is not against planning. Second one is this. God's purposes override man's plans. Okay, in other words, they're more important. They're the greater priority. All right. God's purposes override man's plans. So God wants us to plan. We got to keep in mind that what he wants is more important than what we plan. And as we've already said so many times, in the planning process, we need to go to God and say, God, what do you want so my plans line up with your purposes? Then he doesn't have to override them, you know, because we're already doing. But Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Proverbs 21:30, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. And then one more, Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So that was Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 21:30, and Proverbs 16:9. Now, if God ultimately accomplishes his purpose, why should we bother to plan?
That's the question.
There you go. That's the question. Okay. If God ultimately accomplishes his purpose, why should we bother to plan? Yeah. Vita. He created us to have choice. And if you think about it, this is the big one of the big theological discussions, okay? It's God's sovereignty, which means he can do anything he wants to do, no matter what anybody else does, but man's free will. And both are there. And God works his purposes through people, okay? Most of the things that God wants to accomplish, not all of them, but most of the things God wants to accomplish, at least in our world among people, he does through other people who are obedient to him. If they choose not to be obedient, then he's going to override it. But he wants to work through. It's like God doesn't stay up in heaven and through some heavenly loudspeaker have the gospel preached to the whole world. The only place I see that is like in Revelation where this angel goes through, you know, at the end, you know, announces some things for God. Otherwise, he works through people. So we should make plans, and we have teaching tells us we need to reach people. We need to share the gospel. That should be part of our plans. We should plan for that, okay? But God is working through that. We need to go to God and say, how do you want me to do that? Who do you want me to do that for? You know, who do you want me to talk to, you know, as individuals or as a church? How can we best reach other people? Okay, we get God's insight, but we make plans and we work through that. So yes, God's purposes will be fulfilled, but he does it through people. Any other thoughts about that? Yeah, God can use people in spite of themselves. And I pray that all the time, Lord, I don't want you to use me in spite of me. You know, I want you to use me because I'm trying to follow you, because I want to do the right thing, not in spite of the fact that I'm not, you know. That's right. Tim. Yeah, God is the ultimate planner. You see it in creation. You see it in so many other things. You know, God has organized everything. I mean, think about, you know, the more and more people learn about science and have through the centuries, it's like how everything works together. And God planned all that. He is the ultimate planner. And even still, you know, it says God does things decently and in order. He is a planner. Yeah. Peter, you want to say something? They had parts they had to play. Mm-hmm. From Abraham. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you threw. Go ahead. Yeah. The whole history, going to Abraham, I'm going to give you this land, but there are things Abraham had to do. Then to his son Isaac, then his son Jacob, and then down through their descendants. And he told the Israelites when they left Egypt, I'm going to give you the promised land, but they had to do their part. And when they rebelled, they had to pay for it, but God didn't give up on them. He still had a backup plan. And if you think about the plan, the whole history of the human race, before God even created the world, which was a big planning thing, God planned for the fall. He knew it was going to happen. Yeah. Well, I think it depends on exactly how you understand or what you think of as far as the definition of plan. Because the Bible talks about God determines certain things. To me, that's the same thing as planning. So, yeah. All right, let's move on. We want to get finished tonight. So, okay. So, some other passages, because we start with Proverbs, then we draw a couple others. Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10. This is God speaking through Isaiah. Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Then from the New Testament, you've got James. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. James 4, 13 to 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You know, in that phrase, you see both sides. He's still saying, we're going to do this, but it's if the Lord wills. Yeah. And hopefully they've sought the Lord's will first. But, you know, sometimes you seek the Lord's will, and it's like, I'm not really, really sure. So I've got this idea. I don't know what to do, so I'm going to take a step forward. And sometimes God waits for us to take a step forward before he guides us to the next part. Again, that's what we see with Paul. Paul went out to take the gospel because God told him to, and he guided him. And sometimes he shut doors, and sometimes he opened doors, and sometimes he steered him a different direction. Now, before we move on to the third and last point, here's some good news. God has good plans for his people, and he will ultimately nullify all the evil plans of men. That's the good news about the fact that God's purposes cannot be thwarted. God has good plans for his people and will ultimately nullify all the evil plans of men. Let me give you one on each side of that before we go on. Jeremiah 29:11. Most all of you have this memorized. Sometimes people apply to things that didn't apply to, but it's still a promise of God. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I say sometimes people apply it wrong. Sometimes people apply that and claim that, like, I'm going to get what I want tomorrow from God. And it's like, that's not what that means. In fact, in context, God's telling this to people that have been taken into captivity. He says, I've got a good plan for you, but you're not going to really reap it for 70 years. But I got a good plan for you. Yeah. Lori, did you want to add something? That's what you're going to say. Okay. The other side, as far as God will ultimately do away with all of man's evil plans. Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. Psalm 33, 10 and 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So we can plan, but God's will and purpose always prevail. And true peace for us comes when we align our plans with his purposes and trust him with both. And that leads to the third and last one. Trust God's purposes over your plans. Trust God's purposes over or before your plans. Plans are important. Your plans are important. God wants you to plan. But even more important is to trust God and his purposes. And the premier passage for this is another passage I'm sure most of you guys got memorized. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now, when he says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, does this mean that we can't trust our knowledge or understanding of things? No, God gave it to us. It's just that if we know things, we understand things, and most of what we got, you know, we may have gotten from God. But, you know, our knowledge, our understanding, our common sense says do this, but God says this, forget that. Go God's way. Okay? Go God's way. It just says not to lean on it, which means not to give it priority. God and his plan, his purpose, his will, his revelation has the priority. Yeah. And if we're doing it right, then that's what's going to guide our understanding. And so we're on the right path. Okay. Yes, Lori. It can be. Planning can be very difficult. And I'm glad God gives us wisdom and we ask him for it. Okay. Another one. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now, this does not mean that if we make our plans all on our own and say, God, here it is, bless it. That's not what that's saying. That's saying if we are committed to the Lord and we're committed to do his work and we're doing his work, okay, then those plans will be established, all right? So we get some examples of teaching or situations in the Bible where people had to trust God's plan over man's plan. Can you think of any examples? Where God gave a plan, it's like man would not have come up with that plan. Crossing the Red Sea? Well, man couldn't have. Yeah, you're right. Yeah? How about the battle? You know, it was mentioned earlier, the Battle of Jericho. I mean, man wouldn't have come and said, hey, we're going to defeat this city. Let's go march around it once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, we'll march around seven times. Then we'll shout. You know? Building the ark, yeah. There's a number of places in Scripture where God says, do this. And it's like, okay. But you know what? Whenever people do what God said to do, it worked out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to wait for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. It's like, well, if God wants us to have, God will just give it to us. But he had a reason. I think God puts those examples in there to teach us that he really does know the big picture and he knows what's best. And even though when there are times when things don't seem to make sense in our natural understanding and everything, that God really does know what's best. Tim, did you want to say something? I thought I saw your hand. No? Okay. All right. What? Oh, yeah, Peter, you know, when Jesus told Peter to go out and fish, he says, no, we've been out all night. This is the wrong time to fish, all that kind of stuff. And they pulled in a big, big load there. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Okay. Jesus is teaching, Matthew 6, verses 33 to 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's concluding a whole section on people worry and scurry about getting enough food and you know, clothing and all that kind of stuff. And we need to plan for those kind of things. But God says, put me first. I'll take care of those things. Yeah, Lori. Well, he doesn't say don't plan because, you know, he says don't be worried. Because... Okay. Psalm 37. Verses 4 and 5. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Again, Don't take that out of context. If I'm serving Jesus, he'll give me whatever I want. That's not what it's saying. It's saying if you're delighting yourself in God, you're committing your way to him, you're trusting in him, your heart's going to be in the right place, and you're going to get those things that you greatly desire because of the desires that God has given you. Okay? One more. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. And this is a benefit from trusting God. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. So we need to commit every plan to God in prayer, seek his kingdom first, trust his timing, and care instead of worrying about the future. So as we said, planning for the future, yet trusting God applies to everything. Relationships, finances, career, education, ministry, preparation for teaching, preaching, evangelism. You know, I don't know if I've actually known personally, but I've known of preachers and stuff say, I never study. I just get up and say what God gives me. And I'm not saying God hasn't ever used people to do that. I'm not saying God doesn't ever ask you to do something like that. I mean, I've not been very often, but there have been times I've had a sermon prepared or whatever, and I get it's like, God gives me something different. God always has the right to do that. But God says, study to show yourself approved. You know, you need to get into God's word, you know, and that kind of thing. But neither do you say, well, I've done my study, it's only my study, and that kind of stuff. You've got to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So you got both of those things there. Okay. Same thing for evangelism. God says, reach out to the people around you. You need to be ready whenever he opens the door, whenever you can, to do that. But there's a lot of things you can do to prepare. That's planning. You study, you know, you get materials, you know, whatever. We're talking about a specific maybe outreach or a way a church wants to reach their community, you plan it all out. You know, when we had the tent crusade a couple years ago, there's a lot of planning that went into that. But also the whole thing of being dependent on the Holy Spirit and praying over it and all that kind of stuff. So you got both. You got the planning, but in the planning, you're trying to be led by God. But then in the carrying out, you're still being led by God and you're letting God do what he wants to do because he's the one that needs to do it. Okay. So to wrap this all up, we need to plan wisely. We need to plan prayerfully, seeking God's wisdom. Plan with the counsel of other godly people, wise people. Trust God to bless your God-led plans. But then carry them out. Don't just make all these plans, pray about the stuff, and then say, okay, God, do it. We got to do it. And this is one last proverb and another passage from Romans. One last proverb. Proverb 21:31. I like this. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. What that tells me is that we need to do the best we can to prepare for whatever God leads us to do. But we're totally dependent upon him to see it happen. You know, we got to do our part. But one last thought before we wrap up. The good news is that none of us are perfect at planning. None of us are perfect at carrying out plans. But even when we fail, if we get back on track, God can still and still will bring good out of it. And one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Wrap it up with one more quote. I came across this in my study. Our ultimate security is not in perfect planning, but in perfect trust. Amen. Our ultimate security is not in perfect planning, but in perfect trust. Yes, Lynn. Amen. That's what the whole thing's about. God expects us to do the best we can. We can't do it without his help. We do it with his help at his leading, and then trust him. Trust him to come through. Trust him to keep his promises. Trust him that when he says we should do it this way and we say, I don't want to do it that way because it doesn't make sense or I don't want to, that it's still the best way to do it is God's way. Yeah, Bert, go ahead and give us a little last comment. We're going to close. That's right. That's why we should pray, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. And sometimes we got to add to that, Lord, what is your will? You know, because we're still trying to figure that out in some areas. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for another great study out of the book of Proverbs with added in from some other places and teachings of Jesus. And God, it comes down to the basics that you've got a plan. You've got your purposes. You use people to carry those out. And you have a plan and purpose for this world, for nations, but also for each and every individual. And God, that you bring satisfaction, fulfillment, success, prosperity, when we do things your way, we don't get all of that in this life. We don't get it all when we want to or how we want to, but you promise it to us. And Lord, we thank you for that. The most important one being forgiveness of sins and a relationship with you. And God, we just pray that you'd help us to do our best to apply this, to plan, Lord God, to not just kind of go through life just seeing how things are going to happen. I think we can miss so many things that way, but Lord, to plan, but not to be so caught up in planning that we miss the spontaneity of following your Spirit, Lord, that balance that is there. And Lord, as we are planning about finances, about retirement, about relationships, about evangelism, about ministry, about opportunities to talk to people about Jesus and whatever, may we always have that submitted to you and with ears open to hear what you have to say and to be led by your Holy Spirit. And God, may your plans override everything, Lord God. I can only pray for myself in my life that I would try to plan that goes against that. I wouldn't do it on purpose, but if I ever make a plan that's going to go the wrong way, Lord, just override it. Show me, Lord God. Help me to get back on track. And Lord, I thank you that even when we blow it, when we mess up, when we fail, that as we surrender to you, Lord God, you will still put us back on the right path and you can even bring good out of it, even though there may be consequences along the way. Thank you, Lord, for your word and its application, Lord God, to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marianoaksag.org.